welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcast again this week, and we'll pick things up here in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Here the Lord dealing with his siblings, and there's a Feast of Tabernacles that's at hand. The order given by the Lord in the Old Testament scriptures, the Lord, the law that God had given to Moses is that there was this feast to be kept, the Feast of Tabernacles, where the children of Israel were to load up and leave their homes, go down to Jerusalem, and be here for this Feast of Tabernacles to build them little shanties, And little tabernacles, little dwellings out of palms, leaves, and with tarps that they would have, no doubt, and limbs and such as that from trees, and to set up these tents, not permanent dwellings, but set up these tents, if you will, or little shanties, to live in for a week there at Jerusalem, to rest and to worship the Lord, and to assemble for the holy convocations that the Lord had ordained, to offer the sacrifices that the Lord had ordained to do, to bring the offerings that they had and were instructed the Lord to bring. And so that was what was at hand. There were many, many people that were going to be traveling, many, many people that would be heading and be there at Jerusalem for that week. He's challenged by his brethren, show yourself to the world. If you are somebody, if you are a prophet of God, if you are a man of God, show yourself. That's just the way that it is. And it says in verse 5 that his brethren didn't believe in him. Jesus says in 2 and verse 6, and we considered it last time, he says, my time has not yet come. He says, it's not time for me to do these things. Don't think that you can press me into doing something that I shouldn't do, because my time is not yet come. It's not time for me to do the things that are ordered by the Father for me to do. My time's not yet come. I'm on a schedule. I'm on a course. And it will be fulfilled on time and in the right way. My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. That's the way it is with us, is that our time is at hand. We don't know what the day will bring. You don't know, sinner, what the day will bring. You don't have a guarantee of the next moment of life. That's the reason the scripture says that salvation of the soul needs to be desired and pursued now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Save yourself from this untoward generation, the apostles preached. Flee the wrath to come, John the Baptist preached. Because you don't know the time of your life. You and I, we don't know how long we have to live. And we need to receive Christ as a Savior for the forgiveness of our sins and for the granting to us of everlasting life. My time has not yet come, the Lord Jesus Christ says, but your time is always ready. Verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Listen to what Jesus says. Even in this day, some 2,000 years ago, when we might think that the world was a better place and sin was less and there were fewer evil people, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said he testifies of the works of the world that they are evil. What about our day? If the Lord said such in his day, and our thinking is that wickedness and evil was less, and it was not, and what's happening is that it was wicked then and it's even worse now. Not that that was a good time then. Mankind has always been sinful. Mankind has always been wicked. At the time that the Lord Jesus Christ lived, the Roman government ruled, and Rome was already on a path of destruction, of wickedness and licentiousness and the worshiping of pagan gods, and by such worshiping the devil, the scripture says. He says, the world hates me, because I testify to the truth. I testify and I show the wickedness and sin of the world. It's necessary that we see our sin. Sinner, you are a sinner and you are wicked before God. And you and I, we stand in and of ourselves, we stand condemned before God because we are sinners. And because of that, we need a Savior. We have nothing that we can give or can offer unto the Lord. And we need Him. We need Him. You need Him. He says, the world cannot hate you, speaking to his brethren, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. He says, go ye up to the feast, to this feast. He said, you all go ahead and go. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. He says, you all go ahead and go. But I'm not going yet, because it's not time for me to go. When it's time, I'll go. Verse 9, when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. So he didn't go down at the time that they taunted him and believed that he should go, but he stayed there. Verse 10, but when his brethren were going up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So they went ahead and went, his brethren did, his half-brothers and the family and such. And then when they went, he went up, but he went in secret. Verse 11, then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? They're looking for the Lord. They've heard about his miracles. They've heard about his teaching, and they're interested in finding him and seeing what he has to do, what he has to say, how he might heal. Verse 12, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he's a good man, and others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. There was a division because of Christ. That's what the Lord said. He came. He didn't come not to bring peace. He didn't come the first time to bring peace. But he says in the scripture that he came to bring a sword. And you know what? That sword would even be even in the house, within families, that a father would be turned against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and father-in-law against son-in-law. It would be that way. The Lord came to bring a division. It is that way. And it is evidence once again. Some say he's a good man. Others say, nah, he's a deceiver of the people. Verse 13, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Those that thought well of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't say anything out loud, because this reference to the Jews here is talking about the religious leadership there in Israel. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, those that would be in the Sanhedrin, the lawyers, the scribes, those that would sat in Moses' seat, as the Lord says, they feared them. They feared their leadership, and so they didn't speak anything positive openly about the Lord. Verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So now he's going secretly to the feast. But on that third or fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, he goes up to the temple and teaches. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How can this man read? How can this man know the scriptures? How is it that he knows the word of God? He's never been down here to Jerusalem to learn. He's never been to one of our schools to learn, because that's where the learning came from. How does he know about the word of God? How does this man know letters? How is it that he has this within him? If he had the word of God within him, he had to have read it sometime. He had to have understanding. How is it that this man knoweth letters? How knoweth this man letters, verse 15, having never learned? Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Whose doctrine do you have? Do you have your daddy's doctrine? Maybe you got your great-great-grandpa's doctrine. Whose doctrine do you have? Maybe you follow after your mother's doctrine. This word doctrine is simply talking about teaching, way of life, the thoughts of how to operate in life, teaching. Yes, we learn English and reading and writing, in arithmetic, literature, science. We learn about those things. Those things help us operate in life. But what about your, if you will, philosophy of life? What do you believe about eternity? What do you believe about your condition? What do you believe about your sin? Do you believe you even have any sin? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm not teaching my doctrine, but I'm teaching the doctrine of Him that sent me. I'm teaching the doctrine of God, the teaching of God. That's the doctrine I have. You know what, child of God, if you're hearing my voice and you claim to be the Lord Jesus Christ's child, that you have been saved by Him, listen, you best represent His doctrine. And His doctrine is the Father's doctrine. Amen? And that's the doctrine that we have. Listen, every judgment, everything that we do and say and pursue in life, as a children of God, we need to do so because God has said it. Thus saith the Lord needs to be what the child of God operates on. If what daddy and mama and grandpa and grandma and our aunts and uncles or someone that we esteem highly, if their doctrine that we would follow does not line up with the doctrine of the Lord, we need to abandon it and we need to take the doctrine of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ says, my doctrine is not mine, but my doctrine is His that sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ showing us and giving us an example of complete, total, and full submission to God the Father. He didn't come as a man knowing His own. He came as a man knowing what the Father hath said. Listen to this, verse 17. If any man will do His will, the Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He says, if any man's following after the Father, he's going to jive. He's going to understand the words that I speak. He shall know of the doctrine. What I speak will make sense to him if he's a follower of the Father. If he's a follower of God, what I speak and what I bring will make sense. It will jive with what doctrine that one holds to. He'll know whether I speak of the Father, of God, or whether I speak of myself. He'll know. He'll know. If any man will do his will, obedient to him, he shall know of the doctrine that I teach, the doctrine that I deliver, and whether it be of God, Jesus Christ saying the doctrine that he had is the doctrine that he received from the Father, whether that doctrine be of God or whether he is making up his own, whether he speaks of himself. What doctrine do you have? What teaching? Don't be afraid of that word doctrine. Many are afraid of that word doctrine today. And what a terrible thing when a church or a body of people saying that they are a church says, we don't believe in doctrine at our place. We just have a good time together and sing and pray, but we don't get into doctrine. What that means is, it's a statement of ignorance, and it's a statement that says, we teach nothing. We teach nothing. We have no doctrine here. I see that our time has passed. Farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with His Word and His truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.